So glad to be with you today. The county clerk, there are 21 county clerks, one for each county in the state of New Jersey. And the county clerk has a variety of functions, one of which is, some people might be familiar with, is sort of recording of property documents. If you have a deed or a mortgage or something like that, we are responsible for the official recording of that. We're also considered the clerk of elections. And that means that we handle a large part, not all of it, but a good part of the election process within each county. And we work in conjunction with the Secretary of State's office and the other county election offices to effectuate the elections, throughout the county. And that includes, the state, whatever the state candidates are and the federal candidates, et cetera. And then specifically with my office, I do additional things that possibly some of the other clerks don't do. I handle our county archives that has millions of historical records that date back to like the 1600s. I handle just different record management projects. And I'm also chairing the county celebration for America's upcoming semi-quincentennial, America's birthday, that we're really excited about, that's coming in 2026. So that's a little bit about my function as county clerk. And just a little bit about me. I've served for 10 years as the county clerk. I am I'm an attorney by trade, and I left my practice when I ran for office. And I've been involved in a multitude of organizations throughout the county. That kind of set me up for this position. I was president of the Bar Association in my county, and just really active in politics and in campaigns throughout the state of New Jersey during my years. So it's a wonderful position to be in, and I just love being the county clerk for Monmouth County.
Oh, that's amazing. Again, thank you for the work that you do. I know that many people, on the ground really are the ones that really make all of this work. I was trying to figure out, and I know you mentioned there that you work on the election side of things as well.
Yeah.
With that, and I know past election cycles, whether it's 2020 or 2024, with that position, are you seeing clear voter rolls there in New Jersey? Are you seeing just anything that would be somewhat suspicious when you're working on that the elections?
Yeah, so I have to say, in Monmouth County, we have not seen that. But when we do see certain things, we refer to the prosecutor's office, and, in years past, there have been different types of investigations. And, throughout the state, there is a rule where they have to purge, the voter rolls every couple of years, so that, recently we had a big purge of, inactive voters coming off the voter rolls. I would love to see sort of a little bit more purging of the voter rolls. We have a lot of state laws that dictate this, so at the county level, we can't really change that. We really need our legislators to kind of be looking at some of these voter rules and regulations to tighten up the process, in my opinion. Over the past couple of years in New Jersey, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, over the past 8 years, there's been changes to the election process almost every year coming out of Trenton. And New Jersey, we are controlled right now in Trenton by the Democratic Party. And there have been these changes each and every year, which in my opinion sometimes erode the integrity of the election process. In my opinion, we need to elect a Republican governor to sort of, look to tighten up some of these issues with respect to, the election process. One of the things that concerns me as an election official is that you can go online and, sign up to register to vote online. And in New Jersey, we're not allowed to ask for voter ID when people go to the polls.
Yeah.
And I know that, if we elect a Republican governor, the Republican governor will seek to change that. But you can't ask for ID when you go to voters go to the polls. And in New Jersey, it's the signature of the voter that is the voter's identity. That's all you are allowed to ask for unless there is some type of challenge to that voter. Wow. And now that you could sign up to vote online and do sort of a digital signature, it becomes very challenging to ensure that the signatures actually match. And sometimes people don't realize this. And, you know, to me, this is a big issue that needs to change in the state of New Jersey.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if you're just joining us, again, we're speaking to Christine Hanlon. She is the Monmouth County, New Jersey clerk. Christine, let me ask you this, because this is what we're hoping to have on the federal level. I mean, we heard President Trump talking about voter ID. Many of us are waiting for, you know, members of Congress to get their butts in gear and get this to the floor to vote on. You know, let me ask you that, you know, if you had voter ID on the federal level, I guess, you know, yes, you would have that. But at the same time, could you see where some of these things could still hamper the election process? Because you're saying that there's all these little changes that happen each year. I would think even with voter ID, I mean, you could end up still being susceptible to some kind of fraud.
Yes, you could. I think, though, with voter ID, it would really be a game changer.
Okay.
Because the person would have to present the ID. And I have to say, in a lot of cases where fraud is suspected, you know, it is referred to prosecutor's office. We have had cases here in New Jersey where people have been prosecuted for election fraud cases. Because I do have to say, you know, in defense of all of my election official colleagues throughout the state, because there's so many of them, and whether it's the county clerks or the superintendent of elections, or, you know, there's a lot of different offices involved in the election process for like a check and balance. Everybody works really hard to make sure that there's integrity in the process. So I think adding on that voter ID component, and hopefully that will get passed by Congress and signed by the president, that to me, that will be a big game changer. But there's lots of little other rules that can be tweaked. You know, one of the things that I would love to see tweaked in New Jersey, you know, people can return their ballot. It can be accepted after 6 days after Election Day.
Wow.
And, you know, it has to be postmarked on Election Day. But what happens is that if election results start changing 6, 7, 8 days after Election Day, it makes people feel like there is not integrity in the process.
Right, right.
Because when they went to bed on election night, they knew one thing, and then maybe a week, maybe two later, because there's something called provisional ballots, too, in New Jersey that only get counted after all the mail-in ballots are counted and after all the machine ballots are counted.
Right.
So now, if you're waiting 6 days to finish the mail-in count, and then only after that, you could be counting thousands of provisional ballots that had to be verified, it can change election results. And it leads to this feeling amongst the electorate that, hey, what happened here? Because they don't understand that the New Jersey laws have extended all this time.
Right.
And it really makes people feel like that there was you know, something that was not correct,
yeah,
or that there was fraud in the environment, but it's really just that the way the laws are set up,
right,
and it leads to people feeling uncomfortable.
Right. Well, we have similar laws here, Christine. That's what I was kind of referring to, is like, you know, there's all these other different things that even with voter ID, I feel as though that it still wouldn't be the be-all, end-all. Because we do, too. We have the provisionals, and then we also have days after the election, as long as it's postmarked, like you have there. it could still be counted. And so that's why I do wonder about that. Before I let you go again, Christine Hanlon, thank you for joining me. Before I let you go, I'm not going to have you weigh in on the primary there, obviously, because you've got a lot of people in the gubernatorial race.
Yes.
You know, Bill Spain is a friend of mine. I know Jack's doing well. I want to just ask you about Jack's latest endorsement with President Trump. Do you think that that will have a trickle-down effect and help Republican candidates there in Jersey?
Yes, I actually do. I think President Trump did very well in the last presidential election here in New Jersey, better than people really anticipated. So I actually do think that it will have a positive impact. I think there was a recent poll that said, you know, voters across New Jersey really want whoever the governor is to work with the president to effectuate change. So I really believe that it is going to have a positive effect.
Nice.
For whoever the gubernatorial candidate is.
Well, Christine Hanlon, I appreciate you again. Monmouth County, New Jersey clerk. Thank you so much for joining us. I hope you have a great weekend.
Thanks so much, Kim. Great talking to you. Take care.
Thank you. Thank you. You know what? When we get back, we're going to talk a little bit about that, because this is something that also is on my mind. It's like you have all these other things that are going on, you know, at the state level or local jurisdictions. And if we end up with voter ID, I feel as though that there still could be these loopholes that would put us in a position where we're still wondering whether or not we have integrity in our elections. I don't know. We'll discuss more of this when we get back.
Hey, attention, Maryland business owners. Did you know that you've been paying into a program that can upgrade your lighting for free? Now, it's called Empower Maryland, and if you don't use it, you lose it. Now, every month, your electric bill includes a small charge that funds energy-saving upgrades, and now you can claim your share to replace any bulb or fixture with new energy-efficient LED fixtures at zero cost to you. Here's how it works. If we can reduce your energy use by 30% or more, you qualify for a 100% free lighting upgrade, whether you own an office, a church, or even a government building. And these LEDs, they last up to 20 years. Now, last year alone, we completed 424 projects, saving Maryland businesses thousands of dollars. So don't miss out. Call now, 855-4-FREE-LED. Call now, 855-4-FREE-LED. No job is too big or too small. Call now. Start saving today.
When a parent sees their child smile, they see hope. Aleem hoped that his son Rajib would have an easier life than he had. You see, Rajib, just like his father, was born with a cleft. But as a fisherman in a small village in Indonesia, the cost of surgery was out of reach. Their lives were transformed thanks to Smile Train, which sponsors free, life-changing cleft surgeries and other essential treatments. Rajib's surgery marked SmileTrain's 2 millionth, and incredibly, Aleem's was the 2 million and first. Now, their smiles are a symbol of hope for children with clefts all over the world. 540 babies are born with a cleft each day, but through SmileTrain, millions of lives have been changed. To learn more and support the global cleft community, visit smiletrain.org/learn. SmileTrain, changing the world one smile at a time.
The Rob Carson Show.
You don't understand why the American people behind Donald Trump, honestly, just shut up and sit down. You've been wrong about every single thing. If you've never gotten home from a hard day's work and you were filthy dirty, if you've never worked in a job that Americans supposedly won't do, if you've never driven a truck across the country every day your entire career, you won't get Trump. You don't understand it.
The Rob Carson Show, weekdays noon to 3 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Retirement, it's almost here. Are you ready? Join Mike DePaula and Sarah Flora of Flora and DePaula Wealth Partners for SWAT, Retirement Strategy Hour. Saturdays at 2 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Investment advisory services made available through AE Wealth Management LLC, a registered investment advisor.
From Milford Mill to Owings Mills, Memorial Park to Brooklyn Park, this is the right choice for Maryland.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right. Again, that was Christine Hanlon out of New Jersey. And like I said, look, New Jersey's purple right now. I do believe they're going to flip some seats. I think I told you Billy Prippe running right there in Patterson Park area. Meanwhile, this is going to be, I think, his fourth run. Yeah, I think he's done four cycles already. And, you know, people are like, oh, this perennial candidate, he does it again and he does it again. Well, guess what? The last election here, and this is, again, presidential year, he only lost by 1 point. 1 point! So with lower voter turnout here in 2026, it is expected that Billy Prippe would win. Now, of course, this is his fifth run, and people would, you know, make fun of him. Oh, you're the perennial candidate. This is, what I'm saying is, don't allow people to dim your shine, right? Don't allow people, you know, if you want to go out there, you want to run and run and run, don't leave these seats uncontested, number one. But it is okay. It's okay. Keep knocking doors. Keep hitting the ground. You will continue to chip away. And I think that's what Billy has done. And like I said, mark my words, he's going to be on Capitol Hill in 2026 or 2027. I guess that's how it works. Again, we were talking to Christine Hanlon about New Jersey's election process. She's a clerk there in Monmouth County. And I just, I love voter ID. I hope we get it, God willing. But we have to also stay vigilant on some of these other things that have been allowed, especially since COVID, in our election process. I got my friend Gary in Kingsville on the line. Gary, how are you?
Good morning, Kim.
Good morning. You wanted to weigh in about the voters, huh?
Well, yes, ma'am. I have often said to you that the worst problem for our republic is lawyers and who become judges, and invariably somewhere between the two we get politicians. And they are doing more to destroy this republic than you can shake a stick at. Thomas Jefferson, I read one time, said that no law should be written that could not be read by the average citizen while they were jogging. And yet we have this mishmash of laws that you all, listening to your phone conversation, give the public absolutely no confidence in what's going on. They go to bed thinking they know how an election's going to turn out, but they don't know about what the law is about provisional ballots, and then about what the law is about write-in ballots. And this thing is such a mishmash that unless we strike down all these other things and just get down to one-day voting, paper ballots, I don't know how you're ever going to have an election that anyone has any confidence in.
Yeah. No, great point there, Gary. You were listening there with Christine. So they have the same issue, too. As long as you're, and this is what's so ridiculous, to have your vote postmarked by Election Day, somehow it's still counted. I mean, it's just, I don't understand how we even got to that point. I guess I was trying to remember on when that became a thing. I can't remember.
Well, it's all kind of happened ever since the Bush-Gore election. Everything has fallen apart since hanging chads. It just is absurd.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, Gary, before I let you go. I mean, with voter ID, do you believe people at least have much more confidence to a point where we could get larger turnouts?
Well, the voter ID, I always my ID. Yeah, I always show it. So all for voter ID. But if we think that's going to resolve these issues, we're fooling ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. We got to do more for sure. Gary, thank you so much. I hope you have a great weekend.
God bless you.
Thank you. God bless. And that's, you know, that's the issue. You know what? When I get back, because I mentioned to you guys just a little bit earlier that I did do a little dive. That's not a deep dive, but it's a little dive into Westminster, Maryland. And I saw where the Democrat mayor was reelected in Westminster. Now, there are a lot of people that probably had no idea that they just had an election in Carroll County. Okay. that's another part of this, or a piece of this, that's a problem. But I want to just let you know about some of the numbers that I saw and possibly how that seat could be easily flipped with some more grassroots style work. So we'll talk about that. And the juveniles, we're going to talk about the updates with them as well.
With SRN News, I'm Greg Clugston in Washington. A New Jersey transit strike has halted all commuter trains in the New York City area this morning. Engineers walked off the job after labor talks broke down. New Jersey Transit is the nation's third largest transit system, providing nearly 1 million weekday trips. It's a new cable TV marriage. Charter Communications and Cox Communications are merging in a deal worth more than $34 billion. The move comes as the cable industry faces stiff competition from streaming services. The Gaza death toll from overnight Israeli strikes has risen now to at least 93. Pope Leo XIV has affirmed core Catholic teaching on marriage. He said today that the family is founded on the stable union between a man and a woman. He also said the unborn and elderly enjoy dignity as God's creatures. This is SRN News.
I'm Dr. Melissa Segev, one of the doctors and owners of Audiology Associates. Our group of doctors has been providing hearing and balance care in Maryland for over 35 years. Audiology Associates has grown to include 11 offices throughout Maryland, including the Eastern Shore, Annapolis, Baltimore City, and Baltimore County. The past 35 years have shown advancements in every scientific field, and this includes how we as audiologists treat patients with ringing in the ears, also known as tinnitus. 85 million Americans suffer from tinnitus, and it is the number one disability experienced by our returning soldiers. Tinnitus is a constant sound in the ears that no one else can hear, and it can occur as a wide range of sounds. However, it is now treatable. If you suffer from tinnitus, let one of our doctors evaluate you and develop a treatment plan. Call our main number, 410-944-3100, or visit our website at aaiaudiology.com to make an appointment. Your initial consultation is covered by almost all insurance plans, so call 410-944-3100 when silence is not golden.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
Just one question for you this morning. Who the heck is DeShawn Kearse Jr.?
Kearse sends one high and deep to right field. Back it goes and gone. DeShawn Kearse Jr. now has two big league home runs, and both have come against the Orioles.
Call courtesy of Twins TV. Wednesday, it was a 179 hitter that did in the Orioles. Yesterday, it was a guy batting 086. The two-run shot came in a three-run third as the Twins sweep the Birds. For the second time in 2 weeks, 4-0 was the final. Baltimore now 12 under after 41 games. On the ice in D.C. last night, Caps faced elimination against the Canes. Tied at one with time running out.
2 minutes remaining. Shostakov with the final. He scores! The Carolina Hurricanes take the lead with a minute, 59 seconds remaining.
Kenny Albert with the call on TNT. Andrei Shevchenkov gave the Canes a 2-1 lead, and an empty netter later, the season was over for Washington. Canes beat them 3-1 to take the series in five. They move on to the Eastern Conference Final. Coming up in 30 minutes, it's Black Eyed Susan Day at Pimlico. And that is Stein on Sports. Since 1902, Farnan and Dermer has been Maryland's trusted name in HVAC. Family owned for five generations, they're the comfort guys that you can count on. Like with a $99 AC tune-up with a no-breakdown guarantee. If you need a new system, how about 0% financing for up to 60 months and rebates up to $7,000? Call 410-367-7777 or visit acbaltimore.com. And don't forget to tell them Gary told me to call. Farnan and Dermer, keeping Maryland comfortable for over 120 years.
This feels like summertime. It's warm, it's muggy. We've got some rain as well. The showers and thunderstorms are scattered today. There is that possibility of some severe weather. Make sure you can stay up to date on any weather developments. 88 the high today. Scattered storms around tonight. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, a few thunderstorms. 88. Sunday, just sunshine. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Own a small business? Contact BGE to request an energy efficiency analysis at no additional cost to you. And get easy-to-follow advice on ways to save energy and money. Visit bgesmartenergy.com/smallbusiness.
Celebrating 100 years of protecting your family's most priceless moments. Then, now, always. ErieInsurance.com. That's ErieInsurance.com.
Give your liver the support it needs with Active Liver. Go to NewNordicUSA.com, Amazon.com, or ask for Active Liver at your local CVS. New you. New Nordic.
The views and opinions you hear on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and WCBM.com are not necessarily those of the owners, management, employees, and advertisers of WCBM.
All right, we're talking to Christine Hanlon in New Jersey, and then, of course, talking a little bit about voter integrity. And I wanted to just read to you really quickly. This is why I said I did a little bit of a dive in Westminster. And Marty, I got your text here. Marty says, Kim, Westminster is a college town. And I'm not refuting that in any way. But what I saw, because again, I was looking at this, I saw Mona Becker. She was reelected, right? She's a Democrat. She's a mayor there in Westminster. And I saw her previously during my election cycle here in 2024 because I saw where Johnny Olszewski, he didn't really go to Carroll County. Obviously, it's more of a red county, but he was in Westminster, and he was welcomed by this Mona Becker, the mayor of Westminster. And I thought, how did Westminster end up with a Democrat mayor? Well, I'll tell you how. And if anybody's in Carroll County or in the Westminster area, you can always just call and straighten me out or just let me know how we could get past something like this. I saw where Mona Becker won with 678 votes. Again, 678 votes is what she won by. Okay, now this town of Westminster has a population of 21,000 people. That was as of 2024, 21,000 people. And when you're looking at the fact that she receives 678 votes, I think the other gentleman, I think his name was Tony, he's on the ballot there. He received a little less than 200 votes. And then you had other positions that people were voting on in this election cycle as well. And when you really look at the total here, considering the population and considering how many people are actually registered to vote, you had less than 12% that voted for in this election that got you a Democrat mayor for the second time, Mona Becker. Again, 678 votes. I also saw where in Carroll County, when it comes to the population, you're at about 180,000 people in the county. Voter registration, not bad, at 129,000. I'm at the point now. Again, this is just looking at Carroll County and Westminster. If Republicans, considering that 21,000 in Westminster, if Republicans could possibly register at least 3,000 people before the next election for mayor, you would have a Republican mayor in Westminster. Am I wrong on that? And just think about it. That's not a very large number. You can do that before the next election cycle. But when I saw that, I said, wait a minute, less than 12% voted? That's crazy. And I think the Democrats there are obviously taking full advantage of that. But then I also wondered, how many seats do we have across the state of Maryland that are easily flippable, like what we were just talking about with the town of Westminster? I would think that there are quite a few. Of course, there's not going to be really in Baltimore City or PG County and some areas like that. But I would assume that you could end up, say you didn't take on an entire county, say you just took on little pieces at a time of some of these counties. All I'm saying is, yes, of course, Maryland is very blue. And it is mostly because of PG County, Montgomery County, and Baltimore City, right? I think we could all agree on that. But is there a way to just at least flip some of these other seats and then also tackle some of these areas within those very blue counties? I don't know. But when I saw that she won by 678 votes, I was shocked. I went back. You know what's so crazy about it? I went back and I like logged out and I logged in again. And then I went to Google again. And I was like, Mona Becker, you know, what is election results? And I, you know, typed it in. And I thought maybe I got the wrong number here. Maybe it's not really 678 people. It really truly is 678 votes. It really, that's all she needed to be the mayor of Westminster. I don't know. I just thought I would throw that out, and I would imagine that we might have similar situations in areas like Montgomery County, for example. I don't know. I'm not certain. But I'm going to continue to look around and see. I've got Charlie in Gardenville. Charlie, did you want to weigh in on elections?
Yeah, I was an election judge, not this past election, but the 2 years before. I just couldn't do it anymore. Number one, I don't understand why there's a problem with the photo IDs. I've had a photo ID since, to give you my age, 1967. Had a driver's license. My wife doesn't drive. He has an age of majority card. When you do that, you're put into, you know, the system. I don't understand why you can't have a photo ID right there on the screen in front of the guy that's asking you who you are. So you could, they could look at your picture and see your face and know it's you.
Yeah, you would think that they could do that easily. They might say, I'm just trying to play devil's advocate here. They might say that that's too time consuming to do that. Because right now, I don't know. Go ahead.
I can't see how, because it'd be instantaneous. You know, you got the records right there in your computer. You can look up your name. Why can't they put the picture along with the name?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, it sounds easy to me. It really does.
It sounds easy to me. Yeah. It does.
Well, Charlie, thank you so much. Yeah. I appreciate you.
Quite welcome.
All thank right. you. That would be easy to do. They're definitely going to say that's time consuming. They barely look at signatures now, right? I don't know if you guys, you know, when I go in, luckily I have, I'm over there in Middle River, so we have a lot of great people that volunteer over there. And it does look like they at least try to check out, you know, your signature or what have you. But there are some areas where I guarantee you they didn't really care to look. And I told you this last election cycle when I went to go, it was early voting. And I went to go hand out literature, you know, at that polling location in Randallstown. And in and out, I tell you what, in and out, all the vans, you had so many people that were coming in that were clearly special. And they were being brought in, led in by their caretakers. And there were, in some instances, you had caretakers come up and pull up with like a van full of people. And you would have about 10 people in this van. And the caretaker, the nurse, she would have to go in and out, back and forth, as she was leading in these voters. Now, I could tell you what, excuse me, a couple of the voters couldn't even say hello to me. I mean, that's just how special of a person they are. They could not even say hello. Now, do you think that those people that can't say hello, do you think they know who they're going in there to vote for? No. That caretaker, that nurse, most likely went in there and voted for all 10 of those people. That's another issue that I've seen that needs to be handled, that they won't handle. And so if you're thinking about, you know, having the ID there, I think the first thing they're going to say is, well, that's going to be tough for those, you know, that are mentally challenged or those with disabilities. They'll have every excuse in the book. You know what's coming. But as Gary Kingsville pointed out, that's why we don't really have any kind of faith in the election process. I know I don't. Some of you may. I'm not going to speak for you, but I don't. Scott in Westminster. Hey, Scott. Scott says, Cam, Abraham Lincoln ran for multiple offices multiple times. No one calls him a perennial candidate. The same people complaining about perennial candidates are the same people who will not run for office. Scott, you're right. And I just want people to know that, right? I want you to know that. If somebody's calling you a perennial candidate and they're busting your chops because you don't give up and you keep trying, you keep chipping away, please know there are people like myself and others. We appreciate the fact that you're chipping away. We appreciate the fact that you try every election cycle. We know that it isn't easy. We know that you have to give up a lot. Right? I mean, when you go running for office, you've got to talk to voters. You got to go to all these events. You got to do everything every single day. We know that it is a lot to run for office. So please, if somebody calls you a perennial candidate, tell them to call me here at WCBM. Okay? Because I will set them straight. I will set them straight. All right. You're just moving on from that. I just wanted to just tell you about Westminster and that reelected Democrat mayor there. She only won by 678 votes. That's it. That's it. All right. I wanted to give you guys the update here on what's going on in Howard County. We had the car full of juveniles, a stolen car full of juveniles, crashed into a vehicle head on, and it killed 69-year-old Bonnie Griffith. And it is very unfortunate. Of course, her family is speaking out. But even more unfortunate than her death, which is, I know, it's so crazy. More than that, I don't think her family is going to receive any justice. I really don't. I want you to take a listen. You know what? I don't have that. I'll just go ahead and tell you because I have a different audio clip for that. I'll just tell you the driver of the car. Remember, we found out that he broke his leg. He couldn't actually run from the scene. Well, remember, he went to the hospital. The other three juveniles that were in the car, they ran for it. Right? They left. Well, anyways, this teenager, they now found out because he's awake now. They're talking to him. They found out that he is from Laurel. Okay. Now he was charged with auto manslaughter and charged with unlawful taking of motor vehicles. We talked about this just this week. I think it was even with Delegate Ryan Araki. This whole thing with unlawful taking of a motor vehicle. And they charge juveniles with this when they carjack someone. So you can be carjacked at knife point or what have you. When it comes to juveniles, when it comes to teenagers, they still will just they will list it, the charge as unlawful taking of a motor vehicle. When we are joined by State's Attorney Ivan Bates on Monday, I'm going to ask him about this. Okay? Because it is in my belief, these charges that you see now with the driver of this car, who, again, he drove the car. He is the one that killed Bonnie Griffith. It was him. These are his charges. And so we don't even have the other three juveniles. Don't forget that. They're still on the run. Apparently, we still don't have them. Now, it did not say whether or not they were actually able to speak to this teenager, or if they found out that he was from Laurel, possibly because of maybe, you know, somebody coming into the hospital, maybe their records. We still don't know if they're able to even talk to this kid. That's another question we're going to ask Ivan Bates on Monday. With the Child Interrogation Act, there is a possibility that the teenager recovering from his injuries that killed Bonnie Griffith, there's a possibility that the prosecutors are unable to speak to him and that the police are unable to speak to him. That possibility is still there. And when you look at these charges, this kid is not going to be charged as an adult. He's going to be charged as a kid. He's going to skate out of this. I feel so bad for Bonnie Griffith's family. We knew that this was going to happen. It happened in the past. It just wasn't a bigger news story, unfortunately. But these kids that are stealing these cars and going for these joyrides, they are hurting people. They are killing people. And we're still treating them like they have no idea what they're doing. They know to open the driver's side door and put a gun to somebody's head. They know to tell them to get out of the vehicle. They know to invite their friends along for the joyride. But we're supposed to believe that they don't know that what they're doing is wrong, right? Isn't that what Vincent Schiraldi's telling us? That's what Governor Moore is telling us. I'm sure that kid, right? Even though it's, I mean, look, he's a murderer, but I'm sure that kid is already at home playing Grand Theft Auto on his little video game console. I guarantee you, he's already home. If he's not still recovering in the office, in the hospital. All right, I did have this one soundbite for you because I kept wondering, why is it that Governor Westmore, like Vincent Schiraldi, why is it that they don't care to hold these juveniles accountable? Well, I stumbled upon this video, and it's about an hour long. I got through this thing, and it was tough. It was difficult. Well, anyways, the Maryland Dems, they have this new podcast called Burning Down the Talking Points or Burning the Talking Points, something like that. And it's a bunch of kids, you know, the young Democrats across the state. Well, they have this podcast. And the setup on the podcast is actually really nice. I mean, the setup, the stage is nice. I'm not going to lie. It's nice. Well, anyways, one of the hosts, he sat down with Governor Westmore. And this was about a little over a month ago, by the way. But he sits down with Governor Westmore and he asks him about his background, his upbringing. And this is the first time I heard Governor Westmore make this comment. Take a listen.
So it's around this men and boys concept. I'm quite sure it's a man as well. Can you talk to just a little bit about how you're viewing it and why you're so focused on it and just how do we address the red pilling as part of it?
Yeah, it's a great question.
Also, I don't know the answer. I'm not sure anyone does
know. Yeah, you know, and honestly, it's also a deeply personal question because you know, I really came up as in the consequences of broken policies. Where, you know, I watched my father die when I was three because he didn't get the health care he needed, where I had handcuffs on my wrist by the time I was 11 because I came up in a community that was over-policed and we knew it. But I joined the army when I was 17 years old.
Okay. Did you hear that part? He said that he had handcuffs on his wrist at 11. We heard him say that before. But he said it is because he was growing up in a community that championed over-policing. Over-policing. Now remember, he had handcuffs on his wrist when he was 11 because he used graffiti on buildings and property that he had no business using the graffiti on. This is the first time I've heard him say this. over-policing? So does Governor Westmore and Vincent Schiraldi, do they believe that these juveniles should run free? Because if they don't, it's over-policing? Is that what they believe? You tagged a building with graffiti. Governor Westmore, I don't know if you know this, but that's illegal. That's not over-policing. You can't use graffiti on public property. Unknown to the owner, unknown to the city government, unknown to anybody. So yes, you were handcuffed at 11 years old. Hopefully you were charged. Sure, as a juvenile, but you can't go out there spraying buildings with graffiti. This is the first time I heard him say that. Over-policing? You broke the law. This is, look, it's like a joke. Again, that was from the podcast that Maryland Dems have on YouTube. It's called Burning the Talking Points or something like that. And I saw that and I was like, wait a minute. Is that what he believes? Does he believe that he should not have been held accountable for using graffiti at 11? On public property? Is that what you believe? And then he also said in that clip that he grew up in an era of broken policies. And I would say, you know what? There was a broken policy when you were growing up at that time, and that is No Child Left Behind. He didn't mention that in the podcast, by the way. But remember, his slogan was Nobody Left Behind. That's a broken policy. Anybody on either side of the aisle can tell you that we screwed up a lot with the education system with the implementing No Child Left Behind. Instead of acknowledging that, he actually embraces it and he uses the motto for his platform. When we get back, we'll continue this conversation. But again, that's the first time I heard Governor Westmore claim that he grew up in a community that used over-policing. We are not over-policing the juveniles. We're not doing anything with these juveniles. We'll discuss more when we get back.
The challenges our planet's animals are facing sometimes feel a bit heavy.
The animals haven't eaten in a day, 2 days. They haven't drank anything. They're cold, they're dehydrated.
As soon as we started our descent, everywhere I could see was mud, just absolutely mud.
So the country has been in prolonged drought so long, it was like a tinderbox waiting to go up.
Okay, very heavy. Each of us wants to be part of the solution, and we can be. Remember that there's good happening right now. At home.
All right, we were able to get into your unit and we have all four of your cats. So,
okay.
And around the world. For any animal in any disaster. So let's focus on that, right? Be part of the solution. One rescue at a time. Search ifa.org/disaster ready.
Sending my address to the emergency.
They didn't think I was going to make it.
The pacemaker that gave me a second chance at life was developed through research funded by the American Heart Association. Learn more about the American Heart Association's life-saving work at helpheart.org.
It only makes good dollars and cents to get more years and miles from your vehicle with a quality remanufactured engine from Jasper Engines and Transmissions. Jasper Engines are assembled by skilled ASE technicians who care about their work, live run tested, then backed by a 3-year, 100,000-mile nationwide parts and labor warranty. Call Jim Barbie Automotive in White Marsh and drive away with the security and peace of mind that only Jasper and Jim Barbie Automotive can provide.
This is Danny Manoff from Intrepid Paralegal Solutions, LLC. Join us on Saturday at 1 o'clock for Justice and Why It Matters to You, our new show to help individuals understand how the legal system works. Look forward to seeing you there.
All right. We were talking about Governor Westmore there for a second. And I only brought that to you because, again, I've never heard him say that before, that he grew up in a community that championed over-policing. And that is why he was in handcuffs at 11 years old. But we all know, because he's told the story a million times, he was in handcuffs because he used graffiti on public property. And if you do that, yes, you will get in trouble with the law. But in this podcast, this was a little over a month ago, he said it was over-policing. And so now, across the state, along with Vincent Schiraldi, Governor Wes Moore, and some others, they seem to be anti-holding juveniles accountable. And if in his mind, if he believes holding these juveniles accountable is considered over-policing, well, then that's something we need to talk about more often. And I hope somebody asks him that question the next time that he actually answers questions. Because if you break the law, Governor, yeah, you're going to end up in handcuffs. I would expect nothing less. I do have a text here for Robert. Robert says, Cam, I think the penalty for vehicular manslaughter or homicide has a rather low penalty of something like 2 years. Maybe you can ask this of State Attorney Ivan Bates on Monday. The driver who killed Miss Bonnie Griffith should also be charged with gross negligence. Again, maybe ask Ivan Bates what the proper charges could be. Robert, I'll make sure I make a note of that, and we'll ask the state's attorney. In case you guys missed it, Ivan Bates is going to join us on Monday. Got so many different questions when it comes to the sidestep program, when it comes to these juveniles that are in and out of DJS. And then apparently they also have some event coming up that they wanted to tell you about as well. And you're Robert, right. The penalty, I think, on that is very low, which is why I said that this kid, he's really not going to be held accountable. Now, I said he's probably already at home playing Grand Theft Auto, and Marty sarcastically says in a text line, Kim, he's at school. Yeah, he could be at school. Sure. I doubt it. I really do doubt it. But I just wanted to mention that to you. Also, shout out to Governor Wes Moore in a positive note, a positive light. He actually found his way to Allegheny County yesterday. We were talking about how the residents in Western Maryland were not so happy because, of course, with all the flooding and the storms, they were waiting for Governor Moore to declare it a state of emergency so they could get federal help. And guess what? Governor Moore, after we talked about it, he declared a state of emergency. Now, it's not because of me. I won't take credit for that. But it was something that he should have done, obviously, 48 hours before that. But hopefully those in Western Maryland will receive the help that they need. He did acknowledge, by the way, there is a clip going around of Governor Wes Moore in Allegheny County asking questions. He did acknowledge that had the first responders not acted so quickly, many people might have been swept away. Even the teachers that were helping out, getting the kids out of the elementary schools, and of course, all the parents that pitched in and helped everybody in that situation. So shout out to Governor Wes Moore on that. That's a positive note. Look at me saying something nice. Thank you for doing that. Okay, let's see. Let's make sure we get the Western Marylanders anything that they need so they can start to rebuild. All right, coming up next, former FBI Director James Comey. Yes, he's in hot water right now. If you didn't hear about it, I've got a clip for you. You can take a listen to it. Also, Linda McMahon, the Secretary of Department of Education, she dropped a bombshell on a podcast yesterday talking about eighth graders across the entire country and what they have been able to accomplish or not accomplish in school. All that and more coming up next.
Hey, attention, Maryland business owners. Did you know that you've been paying into a program that can upgrade your lighting for free? Now, it's called Empower Maryland, and if you don't use it, you lose it. Now, every month, your electric bill includes a small charge that funds energy-saving upgrades, and now you can claim your share to replace any bulb or fixture with new energy-efficient LED fixtures at zero cost to you. Here's how it works. If we can reduce your energy use by 30% or more, you qualify for a 100% free lighting upgrade, whether you own an office, a church, or even a government building. And these LEDs, they last up to 20 years. Now, last year alone, we completed 424 projects, saving Maryland businesses thousands of dollars. So don't miss out. Call now, 855-4-FREE-LED. Call now, 855-4-FREE-LED. No job is too big or too small. Call now. Start saving today.
This is the right choice for Maryland.
Talk Radio 680 WCBN Baltimore.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Greg Clugston in Washington. Conservative and moderate Republicans.